Oh, boy. This is something, isn't it?
Good morning, Joe. How are you?
Good morning, Austin. How are you? I'm going to try to have a day where I only use your real name, I've decided.
I feel like that'll be weird for you.
Is that agreeable to you?
Yeah, we could roll with it today.
Let's try that. There's all kinds of things happening. I wrote about Mike Tomlin for the Post-Gazette today. It feels like he's on the comeback trail a little bit. Feels like he's made a lot of right moves since, I think, hitting bottom last year. But that's a topic for later in the show. We're going to open with a six-pack. I don't know. Is everybody? I'm okay. You're okay? Everything's good?
I'm good.
All right. God bless me. I had. Are you into the whole pumpkin thing? Pumpkin spice this, cookies that, coffee here. There's now pumpkin spice pretzels. This is like a national phenomenon every year where, like, is there pumpkin spice pasta? I'm sure there is. Is there pumpkin spice pizza? People fall for the pumpkin thing, and I'm right there with them. I felt celebratory. I felt like I was treating myself when I had two cups of pumpkin spice coffee today. Are you swept up in the pumpkin spice phenomenon?
I am not a coffee drinker, so that's probably partly why I'm not all up in the pumpkin
flavors.
Forget
about coffee. I'm talking everything, everything.
I love pumpkin pie, Joe. It's my favorite type of pie.
Yeah.
Especially right around this time where, I mean, if you look outside, the weather is just, starting to get a little disgusting.
Yeah.
Even though the temperature's still fine, but we're getting rain. It's starting to get colder. It's the perfect time to cozy up with a blanket, watch some football, and eat some pumpkin pie on a Sunday afternoon.
Very well said. I mean, I was talking more. Pumpkin pie is a staple, right?
Yes.
I mean, pumpkin pie, you go back to 1920, people are eating pumpkin pie. They're not having pumpkin spice pretzels back then. Everything
right.
is pumpkin spice. That's what I'm trying to get at here, Limits.
Yeah.
Are you into any of the pumpkin spice novelty? Pumpkin spice pizza, things like that. Why is everything pumpkin?
There's pumpkin
pizza? I know why,
pizza?
Because people buy. Yeah, I'm sure there is.
I like the cookies.
You know
I
what?
Like the pumpkin cookies.
You do?
But that's about it, yeah.
I'm sure there is pumpkin spice pizza. I'm going to look that up right now. Here it is, pumpkin spice pizza. The best pumpkin pizza recipes. It's out there. What are we doing? Does everything have to be pumpkin related?
Does pineapple belong on a pizza?
I do like the Hawaiian pizza. Yes, pumpkin and Canadian bacon. I used to be
a
pizza maker.
That's good.
Yeah, that was the Hawaiian.
You like the meat lover's pizza?
Yeah, I do. When Slice on Broadway brings that every week, it's absolutely scrumptious.
And it's pizza day today.
Oh my God, it's pizza day today. Should we call in advance and see if they can bring a pumpkin pizza? I'm game for that.
If
I'm
you
willing
think
to try that.
That they actually would oblige that. And
oh, I know they would oblige
the merit,
it.
Have the merits to do that. Be my guest.
They can do anything they want. I'm afraid a six-pack won't suffice today.
Or like a 10-pack.
I'm really hyped up. I wonder what my blood pressure is right now.
You must have had a lot of pumpkin coffee this morning.
On an empty stomach. It felt
never a good thing.
It felt and feels fairly high. And I feel like I'm missing something. You ever wake up plagued by the thought that you're missing something?
You know, all the time.
I had an unbelievable dream, and this is not political. This is not politically affiliated. I just remembered this. I slept in the basement last night. We have a great new couch in the basement, by the way. I splurged on a couch because my daughter and her friends like to hang out, and I figured, why not hang out at our house? I like having them under one roof where I don't have to worry about her being somewhere else, all beside the point. But the couch is like a, you know, that helps keep them there, right? They can all hang out down there. Well, last night it was me watching the WNBA playoffs, I might add, Limits, and I fell asleep there. And then I woke up at 4 and couldn't get back to sleep. And then I finally did. And when my wife came down to finish the laundry from the night before, I woke up. And right before that, I had the most vivid dream you can imagine. I was walking on a street in Florida with RFK Jr. and his wife, who is the woman from Curb Your Enthusiasm. What's her name?
I never saw Curb Your Enthusiasm.
It was me, him, and her walking. Why? Why? We were walking down a street. She gave me tickets to an event, and I was pushing a shopping cart on a street in Florida. Why is that? And what's her name? And why are dreams so vivid?
And dreams are vivid. And, you know, sometimes dreams, at least people say that they're visions into your future. Or is it visions into the past? Which one is it? I know it's a significant difference.
I don't know. I don't know what it is. Her name is Cheryl Hines. I was and felt real. I was really walking with them. It was unbelievable. I haven't put any thought into either one of them, really, in my whole life. Why was I walking down a street in the dark in Florida with them pushing a shopping cart? Can you tell me?
No, I cannot.
Neither could Susie.
Is it odd to you that sometimes like you'll have a dream and then 2 days later you'll completely forget all the details of the dream?
Yeah,
does that happen to you?
Yes. Even when I wake up, if the dream was a while ago, I'll forget the details. But today I was jarred awake and every little detail was right on the top of my mind. It was incredible.
Why the shopping cart?
Here's the other thing. I don't know.
You must have been complaining about grocery prices.
Why them? Why me? Why invited to an event? Why a shopping cart? And the other thing was, I remember vividly thinking, all right, I didn't plan to stay in Florida tonight, but I'm going to go to this event, and then I'm going to play golf, and then I'll just do the show tomorrow via phone. That's all that happened in a dream.
Was Ron there?
No, then it would have become a nightmare.
Did you confuse
it was just a dream.
RFK for Ron?
No. Again, it was just a dream, not a nightmare. All right,
the
limits.
The other way around.
Let's go with a 6-pack. This may turn into a 12-pack at some point, and you want to talk about disturbing. Let's go with item number one. Would you crack one, please? Thank you. Pirates DFA Rowdy Tellez, 4 plate appearances shy of a $200,000 bonus. This baseball team finally makes news in September, and it's not on the field. It's not for winning a big baseball game. They haven't played in a big baseball game in almost a decade. And this crap continues to follow them around. We have to watch that guy play all season. They keep throwing him out there. They didn't get rid of him in May. And now they get rid of him with whatever is left. 5 games, 6 games to get a look at the young guys. What are the young guys? What do we don't know about Leover Peguero that we're going to find out in the next 5 games? This is just ridiculous. It's a sad commentary on Pirates ownership. I don't care what they said, even if it were just coincidental. Just can you believe this? 4 plate appearances shy of the bonus, we released the guy? What a coincidence. My bet would be that they didn't think people would find out about this bonus in Rowdy Tellez's contract. And the notion that it's unrelated is so insulting to any reasonable person's intelligence that I don't even know where to start. And of course, they're skewered around the baseball world for this. And rightfully so. Rightfully so. This is the words that come to mind. Classless is one and cheap is the other. Bob Smizek used that exact word in a tweet. Very surprising to see Tellez released with 6 games left, he said, but reports circulating might explain at least Tellez. He also referenced Michael A. Taylor. He had 421 plate appearances and reportedly was due a $200,000 bonus when he reached 425. Can you say classless? And that was the feeling around Major League Baseball. Why is it always when the Pirates make news something like this? Why? Former Major Leaguer Jeff Fry. Hey, Ben Charrington, pretty chicken move to release a guy with a week left in the season to save some money. I can't help but think this won't help the Pirates in free agency this offseason. Well, let's be clear. First of all, Ben Charrington does Bob Nutting's bidding, right? This isn't a Ben Charrington move. This would start with the owner, something like this. And again, I have to believe they had no idea this would become public, right? Like I said, around baseball, this is resounding. Like, can you believe this? Ben Verlander does a really good job covering baseball. Rowdy Tellez was due a $200,000 bonus at 425 plate appearances. The Pirates just DFA'd him. He was at 421. Did him dirty, says Verlander. Doug Whaley was great on this, former NFL GM. On with the morning guys, talking about Paul Skenes and saying if he were Skenes, he would be like, man, wow, I'm counting the days here. I mean, this type of move resounds around the agent player baseball community. It has to. Would it necessarily keep a guy from signing with the Pirates if they were giving him huge money? Maybe not, but maybe. Maybe that would be one team a guy would write off. Maybe it would. Plus, when do they give huge money to people? When do they overpay? Maybe Chapman? I mean, I don't know that it's applicable in a lot of cases. I'm sure if they're willing to spend big money on somebody, it probably wouldn't affect that. But in a certain case, would it? Maybe. A lot of people around baseball seem to think so. Doesn't exactly do wonders for your reputation. Limits, do you remember yesterday when I talked about my conversation with Frank Coonley all those years ago?
Yeah.
Standing on a street corner while the Pirates were winning, circa 2013-14. The place looked like Wrigley Field across from the Clemente Bridge. And I remember saying, Frank, when you win, all those little problems just go away, don't they? Bet you haven't heard many criticisms lately. The old stroll-in controversy from all those years ago about the Pirates, I don't know, charging. I don't remember what the controversy was with the little bar in Pittsburgh. I don't remember, but it became a big deal because they stunk. The Pirates were winning right now. Nobody would care about this. But all these things become a big deal one after another after another. And this is just the way the baseball world looks at the Pirates. What are you doing? What are you doing? Really? One more game? You waited all this time and now you're going to keep a guy who battled with you all year from a bonus? $200,000? Let's hear what Charrington said. Then him and Shelty both denied that the money had anything to do with it. Let's hear Charrington with reporters yesterday.
Well, there's a report that Rowdy was 4 plate appearances away from earning a bonus. How much is that a factor into this? And how much do you does it concern you that perhaps the optics of this maybe make it look worse?
No factor at all. Zero factor in the decision. Aware of it, certainly, you know, I'm aware of contracts that all players have. No factor at all, zero. And no, I'm not concerned. If you're asking about optics going forward and how it affects business and things like that, no. You know, contracts are negotiated in good faith, and they live out. We feel like we gave Rowdy, you know, lots of opportunity here this year, and he, to his credit, he fought through some difficult times earlier in the year and fought himself out of it, and had periods of success and periods of frustration, and this is just where we got to the season. Had nothing to do with where the plate appearances were lining up.
Nothing to see here. Just got rid of a guy who we constantly defended and gave 8 million chances to all season with 6 games left, 4 plate appearances short of a $200,000 bonus. Nothing to see here. Thoughts, limits?
Credit Ethan
Houlihan. I already broke my rule. I was going to call you Austin all day.
Well, here's the thing. The texters pointed out that 10 seconds into your rant about pumpkin spice, you did the same thing.
I can't help it.
The third time you've already broken it.
This is like trying to quit coffee. I give up. Go ahead.
Yeah, credit to Ethan Houlihan. He does a lot of stuff on social media, and he loves going deep into the numbers on this. He actually put out the incentive numbers for Tellez in December last year, and this is where it all kind of resurfaced from, where Ben Verlander took that and kind of made it national from Ethan's report there. This doesn't surprise me, Joe, and that's the main problem with it. And they said that Michael A. Taylor did not have any incentives or anything like that. It was just a straight base deal, whatever. This is bad for optics. This is terrible for optics. Players talk. agents talk, even if Shelton and Charrington did not want this to get out or whoever it might be, they are naive to think that it wouldn't. Because look, I mean, come on. You're telling me that you don't think that somebody is going to one point find out maybe how quickly someone found out is what surprised Charrington and Shelton, that they're already on the defensive. But this is just another thing where it's not protecting your guys, not setting a good image for the team, not setting a good image for, okay, free agents, you want to come here and you want to play for Pittsburgh, we'll take care of you. And it points me back to this, Joe. They did not want to get rid of Rowdy Tellez at the very beginning of June. And they gave him that extended opportunity to see how it could play out, because we were told, well, if free agents come here and they struggle after a month, or they struggle after a month and a half, are the Pirates just going to cut me? Are they going to give me an extended period of time? And then they do this on the back end of it. They give Rowdy Tellez that extra time that people are like, oh, well, they can't get rid of Rowdy. They might offend free agents. And then they do something that could potentially offend free agents or anyone that might want to come for the play for this ball club
even
in the future. It's ridiculous.
Even if it doesn't, like, that's not even my main concern. That could happen. It could happen. That's not my main concern. It's just classless. That is, it's bad business. They look terrible. That's the bottom line. They look terrible. Again. And this feels like, you know, an exclamation point on a low point in recent Pirates history. This just all feels awful. You're going to, it sounds like, bring back the GM and the manager. Even though since signing his extension after a 15-7 start last year, Derek Shelton is close to 30 games under 500. Even though Ben Charrington has basically butchered almost everything he's touched here. And even though this season fell apart, you're going to come back, you're going to run it back, and stuff like this happens on top of
everything else. Are you convinced of that? Are you convinced they're going to just run it back? Because I'm not. I think they might actually make some moves. The worse and worse this thing continues to go. Well, Andy Haynes is gone.
Who cares?
I think the manager and the GM? I think there's a 65% chance the manager's gone.
Oh, you've changed your mind on that
one. I've changed my mind.
All right, let's talk about that, but let's get to the second item here. Could we please? Thank you, City Limits. Mike Tomlin on Justin Fields and Russell Wilson. This is obviously a weekly topic. It's the Steelers quarterback situation. And our very own Jeff Hathorne stepped up with the key question.
Mike, now that you're three games in, what more do you need to see from Justin? Why not name him the starting quarterback going forward?
Because there's no need. You know, I explained to you the variables of the week. It has not changed. He's going to walk in this building with that mindset tomorrow. And so I really, there's no need to. Sometimes in this business, man, there's a myriad of complex decisions that need to be made. I've learned to make them when it's appropriate and it's not necessary as we sit here right now. When Russ gets to an appropriate point of health and we have a decision to make, I'll make it and I'll announce it and I'll be really transparent about it. But until then, I don't care how many ways you guys ask me, you know, I got no intentions of making the decision that's unnecessary at this juncture.
I don't have any problem with that. It makes sense to me. He has no reason to say anything. Now, the depth chart that we think of has shifted here, or at least Tomlin labeling Russell Wilson the starter. He could easily shut this down by saying Russ is still the starter whenever Justin comes back. He hasn't said that one time. So it's pretty clear, or should be to everybody, that Justin Fields is the Steelers' new quarterback no matter what, pending further results here. But if he goes out and plays another really good game, and I thought he was great the other day, I thought he was C-level in the first two games, had a great half and a terrible half in Denver, was decent against Atlanta, and I thought was great against the Chargers. I thought he was great. He was the main part of their game plan. They put the ball in his hands and said go. They passed the ball more than they ran it in that game, and he won them the game offensively more than anybody. So he's your starting quarterback right now. He does that again, it doesn't matter if Russell Wilson's healthy or not, but there's no reason right now for Tomlin really to say much about it. There's just no reason for it. So I agree with his tack there on Russell Wilson. Next.
Could I give a brief take real quick on this?
Please.
You know, I'm a big reality TV guy, Joe. Big brother guy. Used to watch a lot of Survivor. And one thing that's very constant in those shows is that you play both sides. And you want to make sure you have allies all around. And I think that that's what Tomlin is doing here. He wants to make sure that he hypes up Justin Fields, say, Justin, you know, you're doing a really good job. We love what he's doing. But still, at the same time, not completely make Russell Wilson feel isolated, feel on an island, and still making it seem like, Russell, I still have your back. But at the same time, Justin, I have your back as well. And he's right in the middle, not wanting to pick a side, playing both sides as a floater.
I don't know that Russell feels like anyone has his back right now.
I think that's because, why Tomlin's trying to act like
it has shifted here. Russell would feel like Tomlin had his back if Tomlin was saying, I told y'all Russell Wilson is our guy, and he will be whenever he's healthy. He is not saying that. And those little shots on the sidelines of Russ during last weekend's game, during Sunday's game, man, a penny for your thoughts if you're Russell Wilson. A penny for your thoughts. Will he ever start a game in Pittsburgh? I think that's a very reasonable question right now. Don't you?
It's up for debate. I say maybe 50-50.
It's a very good question right now. Next. Before we go on, Limits, there was an unbelievable ending to a baseball game last night. It was the San Diego Padres, who, by the way, Ben Cherington was sort of laughing at a couple years ago when he came on with Ron and I. And I pointed out that the Padres are basically spending $1 billion on players, and his response was, yeah, we'll see how that works out. Well, a couple years later, I think the Padres are headed to the playoffs. And I think the Pirates aren't again. So maybe it is good to spend money. This was the end of their playoff clinching game last night. I don't know. Has anybody ever clinched a playoff spot with a triple play, Limits? I don't think they have.
Not that I'm aware of.
I mean, this was unbelievable. It was the Dodgers. And the game ended on this play.
Rojas on the ground to third. Machado touches third. Fires to second. Out there. Out at first. Oh, my goodness. It's a triple play. It ends the ball game. The San Diego Padres have clinched their spot in the postseason after a magical 2024 campaign. What a way to wrap it up, and they will celebrate in L.A. tonight. An inch closer to the Dodgers, by the way.
Man, was that something. Did you see the highlight on that?
I did. It was a bang-bang play, close play at second. Manny Machado is so good defensively. How has he not won a gold glove?
That has to have been the first time in history that happened. And by the way, there are only two back in the loss column of the Dodgers right now for the division title. The Padres have won 91 games, and there's two more games left in that series that are worth watching. Then they go into Arizona, where the Diamondbacks are hanging on for dear life here. With the Braves making a run, with the Mets right there, this is a great race, and you'll notice who isn't part of it. The team that just slapped one of its own players in the face by sending him out the door with six games left when he was four plate appearances away from a $200,000 bonus. That's the news the Pirates are making across baseball. This is the news the Padres are making across baseball. It's really, really depressing. Is what it is.
And, you know, I stumbled upon this note yesterday.
Yeah.
Guess who has the third worst OPS in all of baseball among qualifiers?
Who?
Brian De La Cruz, the big acquisition at the trade deadline.
The big acquisition at the trade deadline.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. While other teams, like the Brewers, the team the Pirates are playing right now, who have the GM that Bob Nutting should have hired when the two finalists were Matt Arnold, then the Brewers' assistant GM, and Ben Cherington, he goes out and makes landmark deals for guys like Adamas, Contreras, maybe their two best players right there. And this guy brings in Brian De La Cruz. All right, Limits, next. Tastes good, doesn't it?
Always.
One more here. Travis Kelce off to a very slow start. And Todd McShay, who I believe is no longer with ESPN, now apparently has license just to go off on people, which I actually don't mind. Where was he when he made this comment?
This was on a podcast with the New York Post.
And who was that Padres call from? Did we credit whoever we played that from?
That was from the Padres TV network, TV
yes,
radio
was.
Network.
Yes, it was. All right, here's Todd McShay, late of ESPN, on Travis Kelce's rough start.
Every broadcast I watched for the last few weeks, it's like, are we not allowed to say that he's out of shape, that he's been partying all offseason? He's been jet-setting around with the most famous person probably in the entire world? That he's drinking on, you know, going to the U.S. Open and he's got cocktails in it. What right. I do know is I want you to take a picture from preseason 2022 and then take a picture preseason 2024. They're barely the same human being, Ryan. And everyone's like, we got to get the ball. Why isn't he part of the offense? The defense is double. Yeah, the coverage is this. Here's the thing. Bottom line with Kelce. The coverage and the respect he gets is the same. The athlete is not. Now, is he going to work himself into shape during the season? Yeah, I'm sure he will. He's an unbelievable competitor. He's one of the best to ever do it. And he still finds a way to make a play or two here and there and shows up in some clutch moments. But he's not the same guy right now. There's no debating that his body type is different. He's not in the same shape. He's not the same. Like, I don't see the same explosiveness.
Man, I like this Todd McShay, don't you, Limits?
Fiery. I don't think I've ever seen this side of him before.
The cocktails and the partying with the most famous person on the planet. This is great stuff.
He's really been able to let loose since not being at ESPN.
Can you get him, please, for tomorrow's show? Let's make an effort there. Is he on social media? You're just the guy to do it.
I can definitely ask.
I also would like to get Peter King. I think we can get him. He was talking on a podcast about the Steelers. I know this is just the kind of team Mike Tomlin likes. Speaking of which.
Oh, yeah. How about this from McShay? He's also going at
please.
It on Twitter.
Yes.
Get up, put out the, remember what the Mel Kiper dumb comment that too high safety should be outlawed? McShay last week quote tweeted it and said, he's lucky I'm not quote unquote in the building anymore. What are we talking about?
I love this Todd McShay. Let's get him. Maybe even weekly. Let's try.
His header picture is a picture of him on SportsCenter with Mel Kiper. So he's not at ESPN anymore?
I don't think so. I don't think he is. Did he just say he's not in the building? I don't know. Check his Twitter bio. Where is he?
That's what I was looking for. It doesn't say anything.
Well, then that would be the first clue, I would think.